Am I alone here? Must I do this myself? So be it. Ready to go.
Shiny!
Quest Gaming Networks presents Dungeon Crawler. All the loot hunting tips, tricks, and commentary your instanced adventure can handle. Welcome to Dungeon Crawler. My name's Dave D-Enforce Adams, and you're listening to Episode 2. Tonight's record date is October 20th, 2012. I'm your host, lead host of Dungeon Crawler. Again, Dave D-Enforce Adams. Tonight, I have two wonderful, amazing guests with us. The first comes from a place often known as Minecraft Off the Record. Dan Boontini Wilson.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be back podcasting for a long, long time. Just thanks for having me on your show, Dave.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on here because you're definitely going to be able to talk in depth from the point of view of the guy who gets killed every 5 minutes.
Well, I do that very well. Anyway, let's introduce Brian.
Yeah, also, for his... inaugural appearance upon the network shows, we have Mr. Brian Armstrong, also known on Twitter as Silent Fury 007. He's with us here tonight. He's often, you'll see him on many of our show sites as one of the writers. You often write for which shows, Brian?
Well, I've been writing for your show, Dungeon Crawler. I write for SWTOR Reforged, written a little bit for Elder Scrolls Off the Record, and pretty much anywhere else they need me.
Well, so, definitely.
Hello.
And I do want to say thank you again for the excellent pieces you've written for Dungeon Crawler, and I really hope you keep it up.
Thank you. I will, as long as you guys will have me.
Definitely. All right. No nervousness, Brian. I'm going to put you under the spotlight, make you read the sponsorship. No, I'm not going to do that. That'd be cruel. let's go ahead, though. I do want to talk about our sponsor, Tweaked Audio, some of the top quality earbuds and headphones that you can buy at the moment. Excellent, excellent quality, excellent sound. And on top of that, they do have a limited lifetime guarantee for any damages to them or if they just don't fit your iPod or whatever you have. On top of them being amazing and sponsoring us, they also are giving you, the listener, a little treat. 33% off of all items in your cart at checkout if you include the code off the record, all one word. That's off the record, all one word at checkout, 33% off. That brings their cheapest headphones down from $19.99 to $12.99. And, well, it goes for anything you have. Remember, tweakedaudio.com, off the record, all one word. All right, that's enough for our sponsor. Let's actually talk about the fun things that have happened this week. And the biggest, the loudest, the noisiest thing that happened this week was the Wonder Patch. And if you've heard me talk on Diablo Off the Record, this is it, guys. Diablo 3 patch 1.0.5 has finally hit. That's right, monster power levels have come in. They've also done a reduction to damage in Inferno and Hell mode. As well, they've included a brand new event at the end of the game called the Infernal Machine, which can lead to your creation of your very own Hellfire Ring, which, by the way, can go on any character. It does not have a level on it. So that's way crazy.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait to get into D3 now.
Yeah, that's right. You're still in D2. How are you doing there?
Still haven't beaten the game. I mean, I get pwned by everything in Act 2. I mean, I think I've gotten like maybe halfway through Act Two, but everything keeps on killing me now. I need to rethink my assassin.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, Act Two, the best thing to do is you need to farm before you get to Duriel. Because Duriel, no matter what class you are, he will beat you down if you're not ready for him. The final boss in that, oh man, he's mean.
Have you gotten to him yet? No, I don't think I've gotten to him yet. I'm at the point where I just restored light to the city. And...
Oh, with the serpents.
Yeah, I'm at the serpents.
Okay, well, you're getting close. You're getting close. Get ready. All right, a few other things have actually come out for 1.0.5, including doubling the chance for legendary and set items to drop, added a ton of options to recolor anything in chat, as well as adds additional font size changes. Items below item level 58 no longer drop in Inferno difficulty, which is
a major fix. You won't believe how many times I hear Fred talking about all the crud that he gets when playing Diablo 3.
Well, you know, items, they still roll random. They still definitely, unless they're a legendary item, they still roll random, but now they're rolling close to your level. Which, we'll get into that in just a second, because also, all items that drop will now at least be at the level of the enemy killed, if not better. Well, at least the affixes on the items. So, let's say you have that level 58 item drop, but you killed a level 63 enemy. That item may be level 58, but the stats on it will be level 63.
Nice.
That's huge.
Oh, man, it's crazy. Especially when I've actually have a few items that I've been holding on to because it says item level 58 and required level 60. I love that. Rings and amulets also can now roll item level 63. Health from globes, the effect on items, extra health from globes, now also affects potions. So, potions are even better. I did notice that potions just seem to not be as good as they used to be, but this actually will help you out.
Okay, quick question. What are globes?
Health globes will drop from enemies in D3. They don't have that in D2 yet. Yeah, but when you kill an enemy, health globes will drop. Well, that now affects potions when you have the affix of extra health from globes.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Legendaries are getting a Star Wars The Old Republic style light beam to indicate their location. Brian, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That little beam that shoots up off the item. Legendaries, to make them more noticeable, shoot up a beam. They also unleash a new noise that's particular for legendaries. As well, they ping on your mini-map just in case you've walked too far and just didn't see it.
Yeah, they want you to find them now, and it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. They also added a few extra visual changes, such as item drop colors. Some of them have been changed, like books have been changed in their colors. As well, there's been updates to the banner system and the stash. The stash, you can actually change the image on each stash flap, so the little image on the side, to indicate what you do have stored within each section.
Yeah, they give you a lot of options there. You can really customize what you want that to look like. I mean, there's some stuff in there I don't even know what it's for, but there's a lot of choices.
There's some weird ones too, man. I'll tell you. So, anyway, have you you've actually been playing into this a little bit, haven't you, Brian?
Yeah, a little bit. The last 3 or 4 days now, I've been playing an hour or two a night. So,
what's your first impressions? Be honest, brutally honest.
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm having a great time. I wrote about this week on the site how I kind of gotten away from the game for a little bit and was getting frustrated because I kept dying in Act 3 of Hell. Well, this week I finally blew through Hell, blew through the final act there, and I'm now into Inferno, and I'm just having a great time. It's changed the game for me.
Well, congratulations. What class are you running?
I'm doing a Demon Hunter right now, and she's finally feeling like she's powerful enough to make it through. I did have to play the Auction House a little bit, but not too much. you know, things have been tweaked just enough that I've been able to go through and hold my own against these enemies and actually have fun with the game again. So it's been great.
Well, that's excellent news. That's actually very close to how I've been feeling. I've been playing on my barbarian a little bit, trying to hunt that infernal machine pieces without much luck, but I am still doing it. But it's crazy because I'm surviving like never before in Act 4 of Inferno. I'm farming the very end of the game just for fun, trying to get the pieces that I need to make the infernal machine. Well, specifically the plans in Act 4 that drop off of the new Key Wardens. And I'll tell you right now, have you had an encounter with the Key Wardens yet, Brian?
No, not yet.
Well, there's one in every difficulty, and they are mean.
Oh.
Yeah, if you come across one, they are almost the strength of a mini-boss.
Wow.
Just out in the world, roaming around, waiting for you to get just a little bit too close, then they strike. They are mean as all get out. And the fun thing is you have to have 5 stacks of Nephilim Valor, which you start getting at 60, of course. You have to have 5 stacks of Nephilim Valor as well. You need to be in Inferno for the pieces to drop for the Infernal Machine. I'm having issues in Act 4 just finding the 5 elite packs so I can get the stacks required to kill the Key Warden to even have the chance for the plans to drop. But I'm doing it. I've ran it probably 6 times. And it takes a good amount of time to make sure I get all 5 stacks. But I've ran it about 6 times on different monster powers just to try to get that piece. And, oh man, I'm salivating. I want my Hellfire Ring already.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty cool thing. And I can't wait to get one myself.
Well, have you seen all the stats on it yet?
Yeah, I haven't looked too closely, but there's several different kinds.
Yeah, there's one for each different. There's a strength, there's an intelligence, there's a dexterity one. As well, there's a vitality one, which is a little bit less than the other ones in terms of how many points it gives you. But it also, it deals a random proc that deals damage to enemies. It does like an explosion, it deals damage. But the best thing about it, 35% additional experience right off the bat just for equipping the ring.
Wow. Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm... I want it. Let's see. What else has come out this week that's really big? How about the Borderlands 2 expansion has come out? Well, the first DLC, I should say, not an expansion. Called Captain Scarlet and Her Pirate's Booty. I'm serious.
I love the name.
I'm
love the name.
This expansion or DLC is amazing and hard at the same time. Me and Joe just downloaded it and played it today for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. How'd you like it?
And I like it a lot. I love the new vehicle that they have.
The Star Wars style gunboat.
Oh yeah, you have a hovercraft ship. And that can carry all 4 players, which is what I really like, because without the DLC, you have to play through a lot of the game to get to the area where you get the bandit technical vehicle. And that can seat 4 players. But until you get there, you have to stick with a two-seated car,
mm-hmm.
which I don't really like, but...
Oh, I'm
it's
in
just
love with
a game.
That first tank you get.
Yeah. But the enemies are a lot harder in the DLC. Me and Jill came across an enemy called the Cursed Pirate. Mm-hmm. What this guy does is he's kind of like a psycho.
Yeah.
Mixed with a Goliath.
Oh,
raging Goliath.
Man.
So this guy's extremely huge, extremely fast, and when he hits you, he regains health.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
Yep. So me and Joe were, I didn't know what the heck this thing did, so I attacked it and aggroed it. Joe's like, oh god, no. So here he comes barreling down towards us. I'm trying to take care of him with my Gunzerker, and nothing is happening because, when he came up to me, he got me down almost within, three hits, and he got me down and was constantly meleeing me while I was down and in Fight for Your Life. And Joe was trying to aggro him off of me, but it wouldn't work. So I got killed, and he turned on Joe, did the same thing. And that went on for about 15 minutes until I decided to take out my rocket launcher and just blow that thing sky high.
So, in other words, as I said earlier in the show, you died.
Yes, a lot. But other than that, this is a really, really fun DLC. I mean, one of the things that Joe pointed out while we were going through is that in each area that you can go, there's a message in a bottle that leads to a treasure chest that you can open up. Well, we did the first one, and I've gotten a pretty good shotgun that is basically plowing down everything in my way. It's a really nice DLC. I highly recommend downloading it.
Well, thank you definitely for the endorsement on that. I'm definitely excited for picking this one up once I get a little bit spare scratch to drop on it. You can find it for $10 on Steam, I know for sure. And it should also be for the same price on your various systems to pick up as well.
It was $10 on Steam, you said?
Yes.
Yep. Same price for the PlayStation 3. Don't know about the Xbox, though.
Yeah, should be the same all across the board.
All right. Yeah, should be. I mean, that makes sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. All right, let's see what else has actually come through. This week, actually, it started on the 10th, which was a little bit into last week. But continuing on into this week, a few new updates have come through for Phantasy Star Online 2. Now, if you don't know what Phantasy Star is, the entire series is nothing but a dungeon crawler. That's all they do. You pick your dungeon, you crawl through it, and be it a forest, an actual dungeon, maybe even a cave. That's what it's all about. Even the quests they give you are to go and start up a dungeon and go through them. So it that's what the whole game is about. But this one's bringing in a whole new aspect to the Phantasy Star Online universe, and that's making it a true MMO. The game itself can be played for free. Unfortunately, it's only in Japanese at the moment, but it supposedly will be released first to second quarter of 2013 in America. And I'm definitely looking forward to the U.S. release, especially since they've just released brand new content for the game. The game used to cap at level 40. That cap has been increased to 50, as well as adding subclasses so you can be two classes at once, starting at level 20.
Nice.
Yes.
I remember how in the original Phantasy Star, I had that mech guy, and I'm not sure if I got far enough into the game to have a class on him, but I just enjoyed playing that game, and I think having two classes in Phantasy Star Online 2 will definitely add a lot more enjoyment to the game.
It definitely is going to add more depth. Unfortunately, the original Phantasy Star Online only allowed you to have one class. Phantasy Star Universe, which kind of, it lived out its course, but it wasn't as much of a boom as Phantasy Star Online was. Phantasy Star Universe allowed you to dual class, which you had to level up a previous class or multiple previous classes to actually unlock further different combinations. In Phantasy Star Online 2, I'm expecting that it's more of along the lines of level 20, you then pick up a second class that you can now put points into both. But now they've also gone and reworked the skill trees for all classes. They added new special photon arts, which are just weapon skills, as well as adding technics, which are spells. Tons of new things. New enemies, new missions, new client orders, as well as brand new top-level items, which are unfortunately completely untradeable. They also are completely reworking vendor prices for everything, which is excellent for us US players. They're getting the kinks out with the economy. So once that's coming through, you're actually going to feel like you can make money and survive on your own. Also, they announced that the November patch, which you better bet, when November comes around, I'm going to be talking in on a little bit. The upcoming PSO to November patch should include a photon shop, which it will be the same as in Phantasy Star Online 1, where you can purchase items with in-game dropped currency that drops off of enemies, as well as a new X-Cube system, which is pretty much the same thing you're seeing from all dungeon crawlers nowadays, which is just a new in-game. It's the parallel to Diablo 3's Paragon system. Except in the X-Cube system, any experience gained while at max level will then become its own currency, allowing you to use it within a special shop so you can buy new things like new partner machines called mags that they're from the original game. They brought them back. You'll be able to purchase those at max level, as well as new 10-star, the max level gear, will be purchasable from this shop as well. I'm really happy that Phantasy Star Online 2 is really looking and seeing what works for games that Phantasy Star is a lot alike, such as D3. And I'm glad that they've added a feature for in-game content. And, you know, Brian, you said you've just hit 60, correct, in D3?
Yeah, that's right.
Have you actually had a chance to gain a Paragon level?
I am about a centimeter away from gaining my first level. So,
oh, man.
I'll hop off and get there.
Well, I'll tell you right now what's going to happen. In Diablo 3, you don't actually get to keep your experience. Rather, Diablo 3's Paragon system allows you to gain 3% magic find, 3% gold find, as well as you gain stats as if you were just leveling up in a normal level.
Cool. I can't wait.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
I'm excited about it. the big thing is that it's been causing a lot of fuss, as I've heard from forums, with people expecting that it may cause issues when the PvP patch comes out. But honestly, I think that if you worked and have gained a high Paragon level, you deserve it.
Yeah,
even
definitely.
If it makes you a little bit stronger.
Yeah, you put in the time, you deserve the reward.
Definitely. Anyway, Brian, I do want to ask, you have anything to say on any of the, like, Diablo 3 or maybe PSO2 or any of the things we've covered, Borderlands 2?
Yeah, you know, I haven't played any of the Phantasy Star series, and just hearing you guys talk about it on your shows in the past, I am really excited to check this one out. It sounds like they're really taking a look at other games and they want to do things right from the beginning. So that's going to be great. I can't wait to check it out. I wanted to ask, though, if I wanted to go back and experience this before this one comes out, which one should I check out? Phantasy Star Online, is that still around, or
well,
what else?
Phantasy Star Online actually was shut down. It is alive, kind of, but in no actual capacity. The only way for you to really experience Phantasy Star at the moment is the game Phantasy Star Online Universe, which also, unfortunately, has been shut down. At least their servers have. So there is no live Phantasy Star at the moment. The best thing I can say, Brian, is if you have the knack for finding old crazy games, grab a GameCube and look for Phantasy Star Online, because that's... I'm 3 feet away from my GameCube where Phantasy Star Online is at this moment.
Nice.
It really is that good of a game that it's one of those ones. Like Final Fantasy VII, I always go back to it. Phantasy Star Online, I'll get that itch once a year or so, and I just go back and gain like 10 or 20 levels on my main character.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll look for that one then. I still have my GameCube around here somewhere too.
Yeah, if you can find it, grab it. It's an excellent, excellent game, and it has full offline capabilities on the GameCube, at least. It has the full ability to be played offline, so it is definitely worth being played. Let's see. Boone, I do want to ask you, how was Torchlight this week?
Oh, Torchlight was amazing. I have been absolutely loving my engineer class. This guy with his cannon just plows down everything in his way. I am currently 3/4 of the way through Act 2, and I am steadily gaining levels and steadily getting through Act 2. It's funny, I was level 28 when I tried a level 32 dungeon. My engineer has gear that is kind of a little strong for him, but due to all that gear that I have, I am able to go through those dungeons and just tear through everything until I get to the boss. That gets me to the points where I have to take a little bit of time and think about my strategy before I actually get through. But I am loving Torchlight. Torchlight is an amazing game.
Now, did you actually pick up and play the first one?
I haven't played the first one. I remember that with one of the versions of Windows, you got a free trial of Torchlight.
Oh, yeah?
Which, I did play the free trial for a little bit. And that's where I got my first taste of Torchlight, and I really liked it. But
I'll tell you right now, I really, really liked the first Torchlight. And honestly, Torchlight's another one of those games that, at least Torchlight 1, when I get bored, I'm going to hop back and play it. But Torchlight 2, I have a feeling that, you know, since I haven't put any effort into co-op, that it isn't singing yet. Now, Boone, you've played with Joe a lot in co-op, haven't you?
Yes, me and Joe have our, he has a Outlander and I have a Fire Mage. And me and him are going through, I believe we're about ready to go into Act 2 right now. But lately we haven't really been able to do a lot of co-ops, so I just satisfied myself with the single player, but co-op is definitely a lot of fun. And I remember Varwin's first playthrough on Torchlight 2 was with me and Joe on a co-op game. I was really enjoying playing with Joe and Varwin. It's a lot easier to play with more people. I mean, I would fall behind, and when I catch up to them, they are already moving on to the next area and the next quest. It's a lot easier to go through with two or more people.
I actually have not had the chance to sit down and play Torchlight with anybody, but I really have a feeling that that's where it shines. I've only been playing on my engineer mostly lately, and only because it's so ridiculous. Have you even died with your engineer yet?
I have.
Really?
I've died sometimes, but if you invest in the heal bot skill.
Yeah, that healing robot, it definitely does. It makes that game ridiculous.
It helps a lot.
Okay, I didn't know they had a healing robot for the engineer. I might have to start playing an engineer.
Yeah, that's engineer. Cool. And you can cast it, and it just stays up until you change zones.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's ridiculous. Like, jeez. And you level it up, and it stays leveled with you to the point where you never die. I have not died. I'm in the middle of Act 2 with my engineer. I have not died yet.
That's impressive.
It's, you know, I'm really thinking, guys, that we should have a hardcore challenge for engineers. We should just do a Torchlight hardcore challenge instead of just the Diablo one, and we should be like, hey, make an engineer and don't use the healing bot.
Don't use the heal bot and only small potions. Hey, try that.
You know what? That's it. Right there. That's we're doing a Diablo or a Torchlight hardcore challenge right now. Dan's hardcore challenge. Engineers calling y'all out. Gotta go hardcore mode and no heal bot, no healing potions. Take that.
I no healing potions. All right.
Yeah, none whatsoever. None at all.
I guess I'll try it sometime.
All right, guys. I do want, since we're on the subject, I do want to talk a little bit about our hard corner challenges. Last week, our challenge was Hadrig's Apprentice, the Butcher Edition. We do have two hardcore heroes that emailed in. Master Doe, as well as Malarkey, have completed the challenge. Now, remember, if you're undertaking a hardcore challenge and complete it, send us a screenshot of you taking down the boss or your death, which completes the challenge, and send an email to dungeoncrawlerpodcast@gmail.com with the title, I am a hardcore hero, or I am a fallen hero. We may miss your submission and shout out if the email doesn't have one of those titles. If you have any questions about a challenge or just want to review the challenge for the week, go to questgamingcommunity.com and take a peek in the Diablo Off the Record forum. Now, we are actually changing the setup for some of these hardcore challenges. This one, I'm giving a whole month. Actually, it's going to be a little bit more than a month because I want to see how far people can get. This one will actually end at our final recording for November. But feel free, if you have died, feel free to send in your email and we will shout out any of our fallen heroes that send in their email every week. To qualify for a fallen hero, you must have completed past killing the butcher. So your character must have at least killed the butcher for your email to be shouted out on the show. So take a picture of killing the butcher as well as where you died to assure me that you have completed, or take a picture within any act past Act 1. I say you have to kill the butcher because you may be farming in Act 1 and get killed. Anywho, the reason I bring all this up is because next week we start the Monster Power Month. Does that sound good, guys? Monster Power Month? Is that awesome enough?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
The Monster Power Month. That's right. October through November. The rest of October through November. The Monster Power Month has come and challenged you all. You must play a brand new character starting from the very, very tip-top beginning of Act 1 of Normal. That's right, no continuing any previous characters. You must play in Monster Power 10 only. That's right, Monster Power 10 only, hardcore. Let's see how far people can get. I can't wait for people to be like, yeah, I got killed on the first enemies right before the town.
Yeah, I was gonna say I really, really suck at this game, and so that's gonna be me. I'm not even gonna make it to the gate. I'll be dead.
I'm really expecting that. No, don't flood my email box, guys. Come on. But I think it'd be hilarious to actually see people who do that. All right. Now that we have that out of the way, our big talking point for the night, which is something that I think all of us can talk into, is how do you like to dungeon crawl? I know that's kind of vague, so I want to elaborate just a little bit. Do you find it fun when dungeon crawlers such as Diablo or Torchlight 2 include co-op? Do you like to dungeon crawl alone, or do you like to dungeon crawl in a group? So I wanted to start out. Let's hear Brian. What do you have to say about this?
You know, I could go both ways because I've played these games, you know, by myself for hours and hours at a time, and I've played with groups of people, and both ways are fun. But I think this kind of game is built for playing with a group. I mean, you know, this comes from the games of old where you had a party. You know, you have to play as a party and go through and save the princess or whatever. And so I think these games are designed to be playing with a group, to have people who are having – they have different skills than you do. You know, you're sitting in the back arranging. They're up front smacking them in the head. I think these games are designed to play as a group, and I think it's a lot more fun that way, especially if you've got people who are all having a good time and just having fun. I think that's the best way to play this game or any of these games.
Very well said. Boone, what's your view on things?
I'd have to mirror Brian and say that, yeah, these games definitely have the feel of being a multiplayer game. I know that when I play Diablo 2, I die all the time by myself. But when I was playing with Fred, I could rely on him to help me and get me through the hard dungeons and the hard parts of an act. Of course, yes, I still died a lot, but still, I had that guy to keep on pushing through or open up a waypoint portal so I can get there and get into action really, really quick and help out. And in Torchlight 2, like I said, it's a lot easier to go through with more people. I believe dungeon crawlers are more of a multiplayer game.
Very well said as well. Now, just to back up y'all's points on facts, I would like to say that the world first for Diablo 3 Hardcore to defeat Inferno Diablo was actually a pair of monks working in unison. They actually completed up to and killed Diablo for the first time ever. So it really does. It seems to be best when work, you know, with a pair. But I gotta be the only one to say that, honestly, I feel more in control of my surroundings when I'm all going solo, when I'm in a crypt, you know? I usually, especially with Diablo, I like to play it more solo than anything else. I know that's probably mean, seeing as how I give out my battle tag at the end of every show, but I do. I usually hop into Diablo to take off steam from when I'm, you know, get killed in one of my other games, just because I like to hack and slash with my my barbarian.
No, I hear you. I like to play, I'm gonna choose my words carefully, I like to play the game by myself occasionally, and you know, that's the one thing about Diablo 3 that kind of bothers me, that you can't, you know, be in an offline mode. So if you want to play by yourself for a while, you know, too bad. Somebody's going to jump in and play. But, you know, I could see you wanting to play by yourself because you have the control. You can do what you want. You're not being rushed through. So, I mean, I can see your point.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Do you prefer that dungeon crawlers do have an offline mode? I know that games like Torchlight 1 were strictly single-player offline. Now, games like Diablo 3 is always online as well. Phantasy Star Online 2 will be always online.
Yeah, I do prefer having a option to go by myself. I mean, if my friends that I was playing with have to leave, I would like to just hop on and do a solo game just to hone in on my skills so I can be a better player when we get back together and dungeon crawl again.
Now, another thing I wanted to bring up is, since this is our first time actively going into depth with Phantasy Star Online 2, I want to bring up a few things. The first one being that they have events that happen multiple times a day, and where the entire server, all called ships in Phantasy Star Online 2, the entire ship has to work together to get a certain number of kills or defeat a certain number of enemies within a specific amount of time. how do y'all feel about in-game events, and do you feel that games such as Diablo 3 or maybe even Torchlight could take on such a, you know, in-game events as well?
Well, with Phantasy Star Online 2, it is going to be sent, it's going to be sort of like a mashup between MMO and
yes, it will.
And a dungeon crawler. Well, I believe that MMOs, yes, they should have that that event to make the community grow stronger together.
Mm-hmm.
But with just a dungeon crawler game, I don't believe that you need that connection, because you're basically, when you play with a group, you're playing with a group of your closest friends. And it's not the same story with a MMO. With an MMO, random people will like to help and join in with you. And that's the beauty of an MMO. But I believe that dungeon crawlers do not need that aspect to be a good game. I think that dungeon crawlers are fine with just a small group.
All right. Actually, yeah, you'll see dungeon crawlers, they usually, what, max out at 4 players? It's uncommon to see anything past that, usually. Now, Brian, how do you feel about, you know, the PSO kind of pulling in a MMO aspect of things?
Well, I think that sounds pretty cool. I mean, like I said, I haven't played Phantasy Star, so I don't know how the games work exactly, but I like the idea of having big events that everybody needs to come through and, you know, take on together. I think that's just, that just sounds kind of cool. But as long as it doesn't, you know, force me to do those events, I think, like, if I'm off doing something else and I'm trying to, you know, find some item or level up and I don't want to be pulled away to go fight some monster with a bunch of people I don't know, I'd like to have the option to not do that. But
yeah, definitely. It's just, it unlocks like a bonus area that during the time frame that the event's happening, people can go into. And I usually, most often, you won't even see other people unless you're in a multi-person zone. But yeah.
Well, that's cool then. I'd like that.
Now, another reason why I bring this up is because today, or this week, was the start of the Halloween event in World of Warcraft. Now, World of Warcraft is also made by Blizzard, who's the parent company of Diablo 3. I wanted to ask y'all, how do you feel about games like Diablo 3 having, you know, maybe not daily events, but events for different holidays?
That, actually, I think would be kind of cool. I mean, I know that some of my favorite games have updates based on the seasons and the holidays.
Has one coming out, as well as Terraria, which is hitting the PS3 pretty soon, has a Christmas update that they do.
Yeah, Guild Wars 2 has a Halloween event coming out, I think, as well. So lots of games are doing that, yeah.
Yeah, but usually you don't see these in dungeon crawlers, but I think it's damn about time.
Heck yeah. Why not?
I totally agree.
So, yeah, I would like to see. Now, this is calling out. I'm calling out D3. It's time to give me events. Definitely. Well, especially if they're expecting the life of this game to extend from year to year, they need to give us, that carrot on a stick. And I know I've said that a million and one times before on pretty much every show that I'm on the network, but definitely, I do like games that give you that carrot on the stick, especially when, you know, they have no bearing on the game, but they're just something for you to collect. That's another thing I want to say is they added a bunch of new updates to the banner system in Diablo 3. Oh, I've gotten like 3 new banner things since they've done that. they let you actually sort by where you need to go or what you need to do to complete the different achievements, such as like crafting or achievements based on characters and different things and like that. And I'm so ready now. I know what to do to get the rest of my banner things. I know. Go ahead and yell at me. I'm one of those people who makes it harder on everybody else because I'm sitting in town playing with my banner.
Well, I think with all the items in Diablo that are destructible, you know, the barrels and the crates and all that stuff, I'm excited because I can think of one thing: destructible Christmas trees.
Oh, I think, man, that would be, yes, awesome.
Go through a dungeon and just destroy some orcs Christmas tree. I think that sounds great.
Oh, man, that's exactly what D3 needs, destructible Christmas trees.
Heck yeah.
Now, Brian, is there anything else, any other dungeon crawlers that you may have been interested in this week or maybe want to speak on that we didn't go in depth about?
Nothing I've played this week, and I've played a lot of Diablo this week after the patch came out. I've been really excited about that. And in fact, I didn't even touch Torchlight this week because of it. So yeah, that's really where my head's been lately, just playing Diablo, just trying to get through that. Yeah, there's lots of games out there, though, that are great and that are still out there, fun to go back and play.
Definitely. Speaking of, I've actually been playing with that game Titan Quest. If you haven't heard it, I recommend it, especially to you two. Definitely pick up Titan Quest. It's on Steam. It's dirt cheap, but it's an amazing game.
Yeah, I started playing it when it first came out a few years ago, and I loved it. I haven't gotten all the way through it, and it's been a long time since I played it, but it's a unique twist on dungeon crawlers, and I think it's awesome. I want to go back and play it again. It's a really cool game.
It is a lot of fun. All right, guys, let's go ahead and start wrapping up the show. First things first, though, we do have an email in, and this email is from one of our wonderful listeners, David D., sends in an email saying, Dear Diablo off the record, or well, rest in peace, now it's Dungeon Quest. Dave, D-Enforce Adams, I have a question about the bumper for the Hardcore Challenge segment of the former Diablo off the record podcasts. The intro bumper sounds like a Varwin getting frustrated while playing some dungeon crawler, perhaps even Diablo 2 or Diablo 3. Can you tell the story behind Varwin's unfortunate experience? It's pretty funny and makes me laugh every time. Thanks, and please don't forget about Diablo in the new show format. Oh, man, Diablo ain't going nowhere.
No, sir.
Now, guys, hang on one second and let me play the bumper for anyone who may not have heard it or may have just forgot, and I will tell you the story behind it. Alright, so there was our bumper for the Diablo Off the Record Podcast's Hardcore Challenge. It may be the last time that y'all actually hear it played on one of our shows, but that bumper was actually, we sat down, me, Varwin, and Joe, sat down when we were making all the bumpers for the Diablo Off the Record Podcast, and I told Joe and Varwin, I said, I need a bumper that sounds like you're getting your you know, the stuffing beat out of you by Bale at the end of the Lord of the Destruction expansion of Diablo 2. Because that, when I think hard corner, I think getting my head handed to me by Bale over and over and over again. So I think they actually did pull a Bale soundbite of him roaring, and then that actually is Varwin, straight from the Elder Scrolls Off the Record fame, getting himself eaten by Bale. So I thought it was hilarious. I mean, it is kind of loud, but it is one of my favorite bumpers, definitely.
So he actually went in game.
No, he didn't go actually in game, I don't think, but
it sounded like it. It sounded like it was actually in-game doing
that. We wanted to mix it to sound like he was getting ate in a boss fight.
Well, so that's a pretty interesting story.
Or maybe he was
story.
In one of his... Or maybe he was in one of his vampire dungeons in Skyrim or something.
Definitely. It must have been a master vampire. What else could have killed him so quickly? All right. Well, thank you for the wonderful email, David. We hope that you keep listening to the show and stay inquisitive about our bumpers. We love our bumpers. All right. Go ahead, and I want to send a special thanks to all of our 5-star reviewers from America. We have Lord Vader 24. We also have from America Jay of the Falls. We have Gamer Chicks Unite, Diablo Freak, and finally Barfing of the Buns. Yes, thank you, Barfing. I hope that I got the right name you wanted me to use. Also, from UK, we have Martin S. Also, remember, go to any of our new sites. Take our radio survey. It takes about 5 minutes. A lot of wonderful and important information can come in from you just sitting down and taking that one survey real quick. Remember, we do love those surveys. They help us immensely. They help us a lot more than the iTunes reviews. And the radio survey mentions are also, I believe they are anonymous. So if you don't want to slap your name on anything but want to give an honest opinion, we definitely want to hear it. Especially constructive criticism helps a lot. Paid mentions. For a small fee of $10, we provide any kind of small ad or shout out to whomever or commemorate whatever you wish. Please go to our website and use the PayPal donate button or simply email us and we'll be happy to point you in the right direction. Remember, you can reach us anytime at dungeoncrawlerpodcast.com. Or if that's unfortunately not working, you can go to dungeoncrawler.mymiddleearth.com. Either one should be working. But yes, dungeoncrawlerpodcast.com is our URL. Also, you could send in an email. I do love emails. I check them like immediately. Not even kidding. You can ask people. I check emails immediately when they come in. That's at dungeoncrawlerpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can check out any of our wonderful shows from Quest Gaming Network at questgamingnetwork.com. The record days of our show, Minecraft Off the Record, is the only show recording live. It's Sunday nights on livestream.com/thequestshow. SWTOR Reforged is Monday nights. Elder Scrolls Off the Record is Thursdays. Dungeon Crawler, that's us. We record on Saturday nights. Adrenaline Gaming is Thursdays, and Quest Legion is Fridays. Actually, I think Adrenaline Gaming is Wednesdays. I'm sorry. Obscure Legends has not given me a date, but we do have that show coming out, which is for retro games as well as indie games. So they're really cool. You should definitely see them. Twitter, you can check us out on Twitter. To get any updates, we send out updates every time the show goes live from Twitter at @DCrawlerPodcast. That's at @DCrawlerPodcast. You can catch me at DEnforce, DIEN Force.
Oh, I missed that. I really did.
Be quiet, Boone. Dan! You can find him at Boone, B-O-O-N, _ Teeny, T-I-N-I. Brian, you can catch him at Silent Fury 007 on Twitter. You can catch me in-game if you'd like to say hi or just add me. I'm pretty sure my friends list is full, but spots do open up. You can catch me at Dien, D-I-E-N, _1737. Dungeon Crawler is a Quest Gaming Network podcast written by all the hosts of Dungeon Crawler. If you're playing a Battle.net game, which is D3 or any of the other wonderful Blizzard games, remember to never give out your account information, grab a Battle.net authenticator, and install antivirus and anti-spyware software. Have a great night, everybody. Hope to see you come back next week.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
All right, guys, how are you feeling? You ready for it?
You're
pumped?
Let's get nervous ready. As hell. Let's do it.
Do this.
Nervous as hell. Puke twice. Let's do this thing. All right, ringer volume off. All right, I think we got this. All right, guys, take a second. Stop being nervous, Pharrell. I can feel the tension coming off of Boone. Pharrell, just relax. Everybody, let's go through. What did y'all have to eat today? So exactly the wrong thing you should ask somebody, because we've all just puked it back up. But
I had birthday cake.
Birthday cake? Really?
Yeah.
Whose birthday?
Oh, one of my daughter's friends.
Oh, well, congratulations, your daughter's friend, for surviving.
Yeah.
I didn't really eat anything except for the chili that Joe made for dinner. Yeah.
I was forced to eat two breakfasts in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Second breakfast, huh?
Yeah, like my mom was all like, here's breakfast. I was like, why? then my best friend is in town, and she stole me and made me eat breakfast as well. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So you're full.
I'm full. Like, I've had so many eggs today, it should be a crime against chickens everywhere.
Wanted, Mr. Dave D-Enforce Adams.
I for real, like... But, you know, we went to Village Inn, and I got this thing, which is just a bunch of French toast, and then on top of that was, like, the sweetest cream stuff you've ever tasted in your life, and then on top of that was, like, strawberry jam, and then on top of that was, like... bananas, and then on top of that was like this whip topping. It was really sweet. I couldn't even finish it because it was so sweet. I don't ever do sweet things usually, and I walk up on that and it punched me in the throat. Once again, I do want to thank Boone. Thank you very much for being on, and Brian, thank you for being on, and congratulations on your first official recording with on a podcast for Quest Gaming Network.
Hey, thanks you guys very much for having me. I only puked twice.
Oh, good, good. All right, guys. See you next week, everybody.
All right. Thanks, guys.